Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DeNicola.
As Stephanie and I were kind of planning this service and we were praying over it a couple months ago, I just felt like the Lord wanted me to talk about the blood of Christ. And what makes the blood of Christ so precious? So I want to spend a few moments looking at that today, because blood is precious to life, isn't it? Without blood, there wouldn't be any physical life at all. And blood is precious in the Bible as well. Someone said if you cut the Bible anywhere, it will bleed. It will bleed. Did you know blood is mentioned 358 times in our Bibles? Without blood, the gospel of Jesus Christ would be nothing but dead words. It would have no power for eternal life. Without the blood of Christ, Christianity wouldn't be alive. It's exactly the blood of Christ that keeps it alive. Jesus said, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Paul said, "In whom we have redemption through his blood for the forgiveness of sins." Peter said, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition of your fathers." John said, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Blood's hard to see because it's something that's internal, it's within us. But what if we could take a drop of blood and just put it under a microscope and examine it for a little bit? We would discover so many marvelous aspects of it. And that's what I want to do tonight, is I want to take and examine with you more closely than perhaps we have before the blood of Christ, to look at it, to understand maybe a little bit better why the blood of Christ is so precious. What makes his blood unique from all other blood on the earth? Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts and our minds that we might understand something so deep and profound as the blood of Jesus. Lord, increase our understanding and increase our appreciation for the very thing that makes Christianity unique from all of the other religions on the planet, is Christianity's Savior who bled and died upon a cross to satisfy God's wrath upon sin for those who would believe unto eternal life. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the first thing about Christ's blood is Christ's blood was perfect. It had to be. He couldn't be just an ordinary man. He had to be unique. And that's what the virgin birth testifies to. It's interesting, in liberal circles today, the virgin birth is being contested about whether it's that important to believe. But really, the fact that he was born of a virgin testifies to the fact that his blood was perfect. It was untainted by the fall and by sin, because each human father had imparted to his children, you and I, from our fathers, original sin. Sin passed down from father to father, generation to generation. Paul calls it a sin nature. We get it from Adam. The fact that Jesus was born of a virgin, as the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, displays for us that Jesus was unique from all other who walked on this planet. It's interesting when you hear even the words of the cry of his betrayer, Judas, who declared what? I have betrayed innocent blood. His blood was perfect. For God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Secondly, the blood of Christ is pure. It's pure. Did you know your heart, the average human heart in a healthy human body, literally filters and pumps 1,500 liters of blood every day? Yeah, pumps it through our kidneys, filtering out all the toxins and the impurities. And that's why people need to go to a dialysis center to have their blood purified when their kidneys aren't working properly, to move those toxins. Otherwise, it would cause them to die. But the blood of Christ is pure. And the blood of Christ can actually cleanse us. And it cleanses us from not only sin, but the stain that sin has caused upon our hearts, our minds, our souls, our wills, our emotions, and that is guilt. So the blood of Christ cleanses us from sin, but also from guilt. And I love 1 John that says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Because it's pure, it cleanses us from every sin. There is no sin so great that his blood does not cleanse. The third thing about the blood of Christ is perpetual. You see, in the Old Testament days, they had to sacrifice animals continually, constantly sacrificing animals for the covering, just the covering, to satisfy an offering of sin for just a short temporary time, to somehow temporarily have a covering and have forgiveness for their sins. This is one of the reasons that the Bible tells us the blood of Christ is so much better than all the sacrifices of the Old Testament. All those sacrifices, all those offerings pointed to the one eternal true sacrifice, and that was Christ. Why? Because his blood, the blood of Christ, is a perpetual, an eternal offering and atonement for our sin. Hebrews tells us, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he, Jesus, entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Eternal redemption. When he said it was finished, he meant it. The fourth thing about the blood of Christ is the blood of Christ is powerful. It's powerful. Recently, I've been reading the book of Revelation, and it's just so awesome. There's so many neat things in the book of Revelation about the power of Christ's blood. One is found in chapter 5, and it says, and they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, and you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. They will be singing it. You and I, the redeemed, will be with them singing this in heaven, singing and praising God for his blood out of every tribe and tongue and people in nations. We will be declaring that for all eternity. Wow. There's a wonderful old famous song that we used to sing, you know, there is power, power, wonderful working power in the blood of the Lamb. There's power in the blood of the Lamb. And they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives, even unto death. The blood of Jesus is so powerful, it overcomes our greatest foe, Satan himself. Wow. Nothing else that powerful that I know. That's how great the power of blood of Christ is. The fifth thing about the blood of Christ is it's permanent. The blood of Christ is permanent. In last Sunday's sermon, you might remember, we talked about sin, and we talked about the three different types of sin. First, we talked about sin of commission. Sins of commission, those are the things that we do wrong. Okay, we all kind of know that one. We've got that down. We've been practicing all our lives. Sins of commission. We've also practiced the second type of sin. That's the sin of intention. That's when we didn't do anything wrong, but we wanted to. We were thinking it, and we desired to do something wrong, but we refrained from doing that. But Jesus tells us the sin of intention actually still mars our heart because we have sin, evil within our heart. We wanted to do it, even though outwardly we didn't sin, inwardly we did. And then fourth, the sin of omission that the young adults have been studying in revival. The things that we don't do that we should be doing. Oh, wretched man that I am. And add to this, think about it. All our sins, past, present, and even in the future. There's a whole lot of sinning going on here. Amen? I mean, think about the immensity of the sin. But did you know the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all of that sin? I mean, when you it's amazing to me when someone can say, well, I don't think I've been that bad. I think I'm good enough to get to heaven. You don't understand the severity and the complexity and the gravity of sin. You don't even have a clue. You haven't begun to understand. But when we do, and we understand scriptures like if we confess our sins, he's faithful, he's just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. And that word cleanse is such a wonderful word in the Greek because it literally means it cleanses and keeps on cleansing. It cleanses and keeps on cleansing. It's like we're hooked up to a heavenly dialysis machine that keeps on cleansing us eternally, continually from sin. I love Psalm 103 that says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And they'll never, ever come near us ever again. The sixth thing about the blood of Christ, it's protective. The blood of Christ is protective. In Exodus chapter 12, we're told about the Passover supper. Moses gave the children of Israel instructions on how to celebrate the Passover, that they would celebrate each year as a remembrance of their deliverance from Egypt. In fact, we're going to have a Seder Passover supper, a Messianic supper, this Saturday coming up. Not tomorrow, but the next Saturday. And just remembering that Passover. And you might remember a little bit of what happened there on that first Passover. Did you remember seeing the movie The Ten Commandments, you know? And there they were, the Jewish people. They were hovering in their houses and huddled together, and they were around the table, and they were eating the Passover lamb and the Seder supper, and they applied the blood, remember, on the doorpost of their houses. Why did they do that? Because the angel of death, they were told, was going to pass through all of the land of Egypt and kill the firstborn son in every household. But if he saw the blood upon the doorpost of the house, he would pass over. He would pass over that house, and that child would be spared. Well, only those that had faith in that blood, only those that had faith in the word of God and the sacrifice of that animal, and believed that that blood would protect them, only they were safe when the death angel came. But all the Egyptians, they thought that was foolishness. None of them placed the blood upon their houses, and any of them that didn't, death came to that household. It's kind of a sobering thing. How many firstborn children do we have in the congregation here? Yeah. You would have been dead that night. Yeah. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, he says, I will pass over you. And then the plague will not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So only those who were under the blood, if you would, were saved from death. Only those who placed their faith in that blood to protect them were safe. They were the only ones kept alive. So we're promised that if we put our faith in the blood of Christ, if we believe in his sacrifice and accept that on the cross as penalty for our sins, we're told that we will not stand in judgment for our sins, but we will what? Pass from death to life. Eternal death to eternal life. Wow. Wayne Watson sings a song, and in the song is this phrase. He says, his gaze always passes through rose-colored glasses every time he looks on my heart. And I just praise God, because when the Father looks down upon us, he is always looking through the lens that is stained, if you will. It's tainted. It's been colored with the blood of Christ as he looks upon your life and my life. And he sees me as something pure, as something beautiful, as something sinless in his sight. But it's only because of the blood of Christ. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for the precious blood of Christ. Lord, that blood applied to my sinful and sin-stained, scarred soul and life. Lord, that it can transform and make me new. Make me whole. Make me beautiful in your sight. How precious is that blood. And how freely Jesus gave his blood in order to save me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. You're so good. Lord, our hearts just want to worship you tonight because of your great love. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.